again. It's my pleasure to introduce the last two speakers for the afternoon who will invite us to address the theme of purpose and the PhD, a large topic. So Frédéric Bouchard has been a professor of philosophy of science at the Université de Montréal since 2005 and is the holder of the first holder of the Aesop Chair in Philosophy. He is the director of the Centre Interuniversitaire de Recherche sur la Science et la Technologie and president of the Canadian Philosophical Association. Among his publications is the essay Darwinism Without Populations, a more inclusive understanding of the survival of the fittest, and he is the co-edited volume From Groups to Individuals, Evolution and Emerging Individuality, published in 2013 with MIT Press. Barbara Crowe is Dean and Associate Vice President, Graduate Studies at York University. Her research focuses on aging and technology and is part of a long-term working research partnership with Dr. Kim Sawchuk at Concordia University. They were recently awarded a 7-year SHRC partnership grant entitled Aging, Communication, and Technologies, Experiencing a Digital World in Later Life. Dr. Crowe serves as chair on the Ontario Council of Graduate Studies Deans, is a member at large on the Canadian Association of Graduate Studies Board, and recently co-organized a national conference for women in academic leadership on engaging communities. So, Frédéric and Bush and Barbara, thank you very much.
Thanks. All right.
Thank you. When Paul asked us to discuss the purpose of the PhD in 12 minutes, we told him it couldn't be done, but we could do it in 10. So the question that we're supposed to bring up to you for discussion, actually we want to decline first in two slightly different questions. First of all is, why should one pursue a PhD? So that's an individual decision. But what is the purpose of the PhD itself? So this is about a thing. Right, and we need to think about these two things because they work under very different constraints. Much of the reflection on the purpose of the PhD, or why should one pursue a PhD, is motivated by a bad academic market, job market, which suggests that the PhD has changed, the purpose of the PhD has changed. But a bit to play devil's advocate, we want to say that the purpose of the PhD has not changed, and more importantly, that we shouldn't base our decisions on fluctuating job markets. We need to keep in mind that the PhD was intended, this was brought up a couple of times today, was intended to train researchers. Some of them go on to become academics, not the other way around. And a very easy proof of this, very simple, is that the PhD came to be, 19th century, maybe late 18th, I don't remember exactly. We had university professors before that, and if tomorrow, by fiat, the PhD were to be abolished, we would still have university professors, right? So the demand for the PhD was to train people who could produce new knowledge and integrate new knowledge. So it was about research, right? And it wasn't just universities that needed researchers, but you had industrial sector as well. I won't bore you about industrial chemistry in Germany, but there were some genuine industrial needs for more researchers, and even though they didn't care about it being named PhD or ChemD or whatever, they needed more sophisticated researchers. So if the purpose of the PhD, has the purpose of the PhD changed? I would argue no, but that's up for discussion. But there are things that have changed, and this is what we want to talk about today. Two things: the increasing need for mediators, translators, or mobilizers of research theories, methods, and results, and changes in the graduate student body, the demography, let's say, of the student body. So this is a very quick overview. Your color is great. They don't work too well. But this is a very quick version of a longer presentation. I've put the longer reference on my Twitter account. And basically, this is what the research ecosystem looked like between the two world wars. Okay? So the funding was done by, let's say, the Arts Council. You had mobilization of knowledge, which was done by Royal Society of Canada and Quebec, ACFAS. And research, universities, government labs, right? But it was a very simple research ecosystems. And based on most discussions in departmental meetings, most professors still think that that's the extent of the research ecosystem. But a lot happened. So actually, in light gray, I'm not going to dwell on this. This is what happened between World War II and 1981 in Quebec and in Canada. But you would have similar stories in most industrialized nations. So you had more bodies doing research, more bodies doing the funding, and more bodies doing the mobilization. But the real big spurt in creation or complexification of the research ecosystem is between 81 and 2014, where you have all these acronyms that have popped up. And this is understandably, you know, this is predictable, because we have more and more need for people that can produce research and use research, right? So you get a complexification of funding bodies, of the mobilization bodies, and of the research organizations. Now, look at this. So for the graduate students in this room, we've talked earlier about some of the job prospects. All of these places need PhDs, right? And most of them don't need a specific PhD. But they need people who understand the research system and can manipulate it to some extent, right? So this is kind of the master LinkedIn for the research ecosystem in Quebec and in Canada. I'm not saying that they'll be excited, you know, to read my book in philosophy of biology, but I'm saying that the skills you have genuine importance in the research ecosystem, not just on the research production side, but on the funding and the mobilization, but different people who need to understand, use, and operationalize research findings. So the research system has changed. There is an increasing need for research interpreters and mediators of knowledge, right? So I would argue the purpose of the PhD has not changed. It was to shape, form researchers. From the get-go, there was the idea that it was going to be used sometimes outside of the university. Right, so there was the mobilization aspect, but it wasn't very formal. What has changed is that the research ecosystem has complexified, and that now there are all these organizations that manipulate research. They may not demand for a PhD, but they do need PhD level skills. The other change is in the student body itself.
Okay, so Frederic has basically described the changing research infrastructure and the relationship of PhDs to that research infrastructure. And what I think is really important is that we've had tremendous growth in the post-secondary sector in Canada. And in the same way that we've had this research infrastructure, the same is true about graduate growth in Canada. So, for example, for those of you from the province of Ontario, we had Reaching Higher. We've had the most significant investment in the history of the post-secondary sector in graduate education in Ontario, an 80% increase in graduate enrollment. We've doubled the number of PhDs in the last decade, and most of the growth has come from the younger cohort, 22 to 24. So what we're seeing now is the MA is the new BA. Students are moving right from their four-year degree into a master's degree. So this is a booming context of graduate. Most of what we know about the student experience in the universities has been premised, and most of the research has been done on undergraduates. There's an extensive research on undergraduate students. We do not have the same body of empirical research around graduate students. And we're starting to see that with the Canadian Professional Graduate Student Survey. We're starting to see universities interested in alumni. The Provincial Ontario is doing a graduate student outcomes. But here are some of the things that we do know. We do know that older candidates in STEM are more likely to choose a professional occupation afterwards. Younger students see the doctorate as the next step in the progression in the university world. 65% of Ontario PhDs pursue degrees with the intention of becoming a university professor, and 86% of humanities about wanting to move and be a university professor. And this is correlated with that younger group of students who want to be the professorial combined with wanting to go into the humanities. You see the effect of that career pathway. So what are graduate students telling us? And I think it's really important to listen to graduate students, and I'm so glad this conference started with graduate students, because I think by moving and listening to graduate students, we're going to have the most amazing and exciting graduate education, so thanks for doing that. The great news that we hear from the student data is that 95% of them are satisfied with the intellectual quality of their experience. That's fantastic news for those of us who work in graduate education. 65%, so we're going to the good news, rank their overall academic experience as very good to excellent. The bad news is that students are dissatisfied with career services and workshops related to life after graduation. And I do think there's a high correlation between the enhanced student services we have for undergraduates. They've come with this culture as service and work as the undergrad, and we see those demands and them wanting that in the grad. And I think we have a responsibility as educators to engage with those demands and relationships and queries. So what now? So we are interested in alignment of purpose. And we think, I think one of the challenges, and I think we're at a saturation in our discussions around how we need to move forward. And one of the real concerns and challenges that we have around the purpose of the PhD is about bringing together administrators, faculty, students, and staff around the different kinds of wants and needs. And I also think there's really significant intergenerational differences that we need to attend to. And I think we're going to be stronger when we start taking those seriously. So what we need to do is just get on the same page. And I think we need an evolving alignment of purpose between all of these constituent groups.
So basically, looking at this question, and from the starting point, assuming that the purpose of the PhD hasn't changed, but that the demographics of the different communities has changed, what we're interested in and what we want to ask you about is to think about not so much whether there's a single purpose, but aligning diverse purposes for the PhD. So what is the purpose of the PhD? Now it's in the singular, but actually a better way we think of putting the question is, how do we align the diverse purposes of the PhD for an increasing student body? So that's a demographic fact. Decreasing professoriate, not in absolute terms, actually, but
also
in
a demographic fact.
Also a demographic fact, and an economic one, yeah. Right? But the relative importance of the professoriate has decreased in numbers relative to the student body, and an increasing, we say administrative management, but actually it's also student services, staff, which is on the increase, right? They see a different PhD. They see a different purpose for the PhD. So we shouldn't expect to find a single purpose of the PhD, and if so, we would argue it's the researcher, you know, to form researchers. But then the question is, how do you align different expectations related to that purpose? And this is what we, the question we want to bring forth is, how do we align, you know, the purpose of the PhD stemming from different groups, assuming that, let's say, it hasn't radically changed based on punctual economic factors. Thank you.
Excellent. We have 20 seconds left.
We've got 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
So we've planned a little kabuki theater. No.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
We're not doing table work now. We're going right to discussion.